Well, would you take your Bibles and turn with me, please, to the book of Hebrews, chapter 10. And if you don't have a Bible, let me encourage you to take one out of the pew rack in front of you there. And it's much, very similar to the translation that I'll be reading out of, the New American Standard Translation. Hebrews chapter 10. And in just a moment, I want to begin reading with verse 32 and read down through verse 39. Hebrews chapter 10. This morning, if you were here, and I hope that you were, we began to talk about the quality of endurance. Endurance, which is faith that is stretched out. A lot of us have faith at points in time, and we're willing to trust the Lord at the beginning. But how critical it is and how crucial it is that we learn the quality to have faith that stretches out all the way to the finish line, that keeps on keeping on, that keeps on trusting God. I've been reading an article in the past few days about China and the persecuted church in China, and how amazing it is that people just continue in the face of all kinds of persecution and all kinds of suffering through these last dozens of years, that the church has continued to just grow and grow and grow. And you find literally tens of thousands and millions of Christians behind the Iron Curtain because people have been willing to endure for Christ's sake, to keep on trusting in the Lord and persevering in Him. And it's something that I'm afraid we as American Christians know very little about. We've got instant pudding. We even have instant breakfast, which is amazing, you know. First time I saw that, I thought, well, you're going to add water, and out it's going to come two soft-boiled eggs and toast and bacon. But it's not that at all. But we have instant everything in our society, and we've become a very, very impatient people. Some of you folks here that are older remember the days when your mom and dad would sit on the porch and would just enjoy spending a leisurely evening together. But we can't do that anymore. We're an impatient people, and we've got to have everything, and we've got to have it now, and we've got to be doing things, and we've got to be on the go. And we have lost the quality of patience. We've lost the quality of endurance, which is a premium quality in the eyes and the heart and the dispensation of God. And so we began to look at this morning, and we talked about how important it was to endure for Christ's sake. But tonight I want to answer the question, how do I endure? All right, it's right to endure. It's good to endure. I need to keep on trusting in the Lord. But how do I do that, and what will be the benefits if I do? And this passage addresses itself to that in Hebrews chapter 10, beginning with verse 32. For the Bible says, "Remember the former days when after being enlightened you endured a great conflict of sufferings, partly by being made a public spectacle through reproaches and tribulations, and partly by becoming sharers with those who were so treated. For you showed sympathy to the prisoners and accepted joyfully the seizure of your property." Accepted joyfully. It's interesting. "Knowing that you have for yourselves a better possession and an abiding one. Therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay, but my righteous one shall live by faith. And if he shrinks back, my soul takes no pleasure in him. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but we are of those who have faith to the persevering of the soul." Now, I want you to notice with me in this passage of Scripture just two or three brief things about how to endure, how to keep on keeping on with the Lord. First of all, I want you to notice with me the promise received, and then the posture maintained, and then the promise fulfilled. So first of all, notice with me the promise that is received. The Bible says this in verse 36. The Bible says you have need of endurance so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. Now, the way that's phrased indicates to us that as you're enduring and as you're waiting upon the Lord, you are waiting based upon the fact that God has promised you something. And this says to us that the first essential, the first real step in getting into a position where you can endure in the midst of a trial is finding a promise from Almighty God. Hearing a word from His lips about your situation. Seeing that situation from God's perspective. As we look through the Word of God, we see man after man after man who is able to endure and able to keep on keeping on trusting in the Lord. But it was all relative to the fact that those men had received promises from God. Promises from God. Now, why is it necessary for me in my particular trial, in my particular suffering, in my particular situation to go to the Word of God and find out what God says about the issue, receive a promise from the Lord, receive a word from the Lord to me about my situation? Well, it's essential for two or three things. First of all, it's necessary in order to have proper vision. In order to have proper vision. You see, most of the time, the reason that we have such difficulty and such worry and such anxiety and such fear is because we're seeing only from one perspective, from one level. And do you know that there are two ways that you can see everything? You see, most folks go around this world just seeing their everything in life from their physical eyes. Their physical eyes. It comes through the senses, how you can, what you can see and feel and taste and touch and hear. And most people live their lives on the realm of their physical senses. In other words, they see some tragedy, they see some difficulty, they see some problem. And since they only see it in the realm of their senses, and that's all that's possible to them, they think that's the end of the issue. They think that's the way it's going to turn out. And circumstances constantly are dictating how much they trust God. If the circumstance seems to indicate by what they can see, by what they can feel, by what they can taste, by what they can touch, by what they can hear, if the circumstances seem to say to them, this thing is impossible, then to them it's impossible. But you see, for a Christian, a born-again child of God who has the Spirit of God living inside of him and the Word of God available to him, there is a whole different realm of sight. Most men live merely by physical senses and physical sight. But for a Christian, there is a thing that we could call spiritual sight, spiritual eyes, which gives you the ability to, as Hebrews says, see the unseen. See the unseen. To see beyond what the circumstances may seem to dictate. To see beyond what everybody tells you is going to be the outcome. And to begin to see that problem from God's perspective. I've been reading this week Numbers 13 through 16 was part of my daily Bible readings. And in that tremendous passage of Scripture, and I have shared this with some of you before, the Bible says that the children of Israel were standing on the edge of the promised land, and God said, go in. And so they sent some spies across. And you remember the 10 spies came back, and they said, it's a beautiful land, but the sons of Anak are there, and those were the guys with six fingers and six toes. Goliath was a son of Anak. They were giants. And we look like grasshoppers in their sight, and it's a great land, it's everything God has promised, but we just can't do it. Now, what realm were they looking at? What realm? The physical realm. I mean, that's all they saw. They looked at those giants, and they looked at the fortified walls, that the walls of Jericho were so thick that you could ride four chariots abreast around those walls, and they looked at those walls, and they thought, there ain't no way. But they only saw on one realm, it was the realm of the physical. But you know, there were two men who walked by faith and not by sight. Joshua and Caleb. And Joshua came back and Caleb came back and they said, yes, there are giants. We're not denying what you see with your eyes. I mean, those physical things are there. We're not going to try to delude you or just, you know, think them away or have some power of positive thinking or something like that and whisk them and they're suddenly gone. No, they're really there. But I want to tell you something that we've seen beyond that. We've been with God, and God has told us that those giants are like bread. They're like bread. What does bread do? Boy, I tell you what it does for me. It feeds me and nourishes me and puts a couple of little rolls right around me right here. And I'm telling you, it is good, as Andy Griffith would say. It's just good stuff. I love bread. And the bread, by the way, to a Jewish man was life. I mean, that was the sustenance. That was the thing that gave him strength. If he didn't have bread, he didn't have life. And so Joshua and Caleb said, you guys are just seeing it with your physical eyes. And they look like giants, and it looks impossible. But we see it with the eyes of faith. God has made a promise to us. And Caleb and Joshua had proper vision, and so they could stand in faith and say, God will do it. Let's go. Now listen, I want to tell you something, friends. If you don't hear a word from God about your particular situation, you can't ever see straight. I mean, you'll walk around your whole life looking at things from a merely humanistic, physical perspective. We come to this issue about our building and about church growth and all that we see. And I want to tell you something, my friends. If you look at the future and the needs that we have at Trinity from Baptist Church, from just a physical, a purely physical perspective, friends, I want to tell you something. We are sunk. There are giants in the land. I mean, there's some guys out there with six fingers and six toes, and there's some insurmountable mountains out in front of us. But friends, I want to tell you something. If you go to the Word of God and begin to hear it from the lips and the heartbeat of Almighty God, who says that if I'm for you, nobody can be against you, that I will supply all of your needs through my riches in glory in Christ Jesus. And when you begin to see this whole issue of the future of Trinity Baptist Church and the needs that we have from God's viewpoint, it changes your vision. And you can stand in faith and say, listen, man, I'm rejoicing. I'm excited because God is in this thing and He's going to bless. So it's absolutely essential for you to get a word from the Lord, a promise from God about your condition, about your problem, so that you can get your vision straightened out, so that you can see it from God's perspective. And what God will do through His Word, as you look at that problem from this way, God will take you up by the Spirit of God and through the Word of God, and He will lift you up above that problem, and you will literally begin to see that issue from His perspective and be able to have phenomenal faith and trust in Him. And be able to rejoice in the midst of trial. You know what the Bible says right here? The Bible says that there are some people who, because of their faith, men were coming in and seizing all their property. But you know what the Bible says? The Bible says that these men joyfully accepted it. Now what if somebody came to you tomorrow and suddenly there was a decree passed in America that said any Christian is going to have all of his property seized? And so those men came and they knocked on your door and they took the key to your home and they kicked you out in the street. Could you be joyful about that? Well, if you looked at it merely from a physical perspective, you couldn't be joyful at all. But you see, God had made some promises to these people, and they knew it. And the Bible says here in verse 34, they accepted joyfully the seizure of their property, knowing some things. And that was the key. Their minds were renewed, and they knew some things. They knew that they had for themselves a better possession and an abiding one. They had a home that nobody could take away. And they just rejoiced. It was all right with them. They didn't have to worry. They didn't have to get ulcers. They didn't have to be upset because they knew what God said was true about the issue. They knew that God was preparing a heavenly home. They knew that God had promised to take care of their needs. And so they trusted and their vision was proper. And so they could walk as they ought to walk. It's imperative for you to get a word from God, a promise from the Lord, so that it can correct your vision. But secondly, I want you to notice with me, it's important for you to get a promise from the Lord because it's necessary for proper direction. Not only for proper vision, but also for proper direction. Look with me over in the next chapter in the great roll call of faith in Hebrews chapter 11. I wish we had time. Maybe one of these days we'll study through the book of Hebrews together. But here in verse 7 and 8, it says this, "By faith Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen." See, Noah went out, he couldn't see it with a physical eye. God says a flood's coming, he couldn't see it. And by faith, he saw it with the eyes of faith, and he saw it through God's eyes, what was going to happen. So he began to go out and build a boat in his backyard. And it says, in reverence or in fear of the Lord, because he trusted God, he began to prepare an ark for the salvation of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Now, I want to tell you something. Why in the world did Noah go out one day and, like a crazy man, began to build a huge, huge boat in his backyard on dry land? Now, why did he do it? Everybody came up to him and says, "Noah, you are berserk." I mean, they'd walk by and they'd say things like this about Noah. They'd say, "You know, old Noah, boy, the lights are on, but nobody's at home." They'd say, "Listen, you know, old Noah, man, I fear a little bit for Noah. I don't think he's hunting with all his dogs. He's one brick shy of a load." On and on they'd go. Only got one oar in the water. And so they'd say all these kind of things about Noah. Man, he's just crazy. Noah's an idiot. But what had Noah seen? Noah had seen it from God's perspective. Noah knew the truth, who got saved and who didn't get wet. Noah did. But you see, why did Noah do that? Why in the world would he make those kinds of moves and do those kinds of things? Because God had spoken to his heart and given him direction. Direction. It seemed to everybody to be ridiculous direction, but it was, as we see it from the lens of history, it was unbelievably proper and right direction. I want to tell you something, my friends. How in the world could you do things day by day that will provide salvation for your life and for others and will accomplish phenomenal things and see the blessing of God through your life? They may be things that and moves and decisions and directions that you would go in that people would look at this point in time and say, "That's ridiculous. Why, that's stupid. Why would anybody believe that? Why would anybody do that? Why would anybody go there? Why would anybody say that?" But you do it because God has spoken to your heart. And God can give, the Bible says, and will give in Psalms 25, His secret, intimate counsel to men who are willing to fear Him and trust in Him. So it's essential for you to get a word from the Lord and a promise from God about your situation, about your life. Not only so that you can get the proper vision, but also so that you can get the proper direction, so that you can know what in the world you need to do in the midst of this time in your life. But I want you to notice a final thing. It's important for you to get a word from the Lord because it is not only necessary for proper vision and for proper direction to know where to go and what to do, it's also essential for proper biblical faith. In fact, I want to tell you something, my friends. It's absolutely... Listen carefully. I believe with all of my heart I can say this on the basis of God's Word. It is absolutely, positively impossible for you to trust God without having a Word from God. How did you come to Jesus Christ and trust in Him? Did you just figure that out one day or just come to you? No, you heard the what? The Word of God. And one day it may have been through a radio preacher, it may have been through a Bible, left in a hotel somewhere, it may be through some testimony of some person who spoke to you, it may have been in a church service, but somehow God's Word came to you. And God spoke through some medium and said, "Listen, if you will call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved." And you stepped out on the promise of what God had said about your salvation, and you trusted in Jesus Christ. And you could have never done that in your life without the Word of God. In fact, the Bible says faith comes by what? Hearing, and hearing by what? The Word of God. The only way a man can trust in God is if he's heard from God. The only way that a man hears from God is by the Word from God. And that's why God spoke to the Israelites and said, "Listen, this is what I'm trying to get you to do. This is what I'm teaching you to do, to live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth." And when you hear my word, you can trust me because you know I'm trustworthy. It's impossible to have real faith unless you hear God and hear Him through His word. Now, friends, everybody in this room's got faith. We all have faith. You operate, a lost man operates his life on the basis of faith. He gets on in a car, turns a metal object, trusting in that engine, that automobile. He flips on a little plastic switch on the side of the wall, may not know one thing about electricity, but he trusts in that little switch and in the whole operation of electricity. All of us have faith. The question is, who are you going to go through your life depending on, trusting in? See? You're either going to live your life trusting in yourself and depending upon yourself and those around you, or are you going to live your life trusting in Christ and His Word? And if you want to have biblical faith, mountain-moving kind of faith, faith that moves the hand of God into the realm of your daily experience and the experience and life of your family, you've got to find out what God says about those issues in your life. You can sit around all day long and say, oh, I want faith, I want faith, I want faith. Or if I just had more faith. But I want to tell you something, my friends. If you never get your nose in this book and study the Word of God and find out what God says is true about the issues of your life, you'll never experience biblical faith. There's no other route. There's no other way. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Flip over there to Hebrews 11 one more time and look at verse 22. I want to show you something interesting. And we could go down the row and look at every single man in this roll call of faith in Hebrews 11. Every single man operated on the same basis. But just to pick one, let's look at verse 22. The Bible says, by faith, Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Now listen, friends, just picture this with me, would you? Here's old Joseph, and all of the children of Israel have moved down from Canaan, and they've come down into Egypt. You remember Joseph provided for his brothers and his father during that time of famine, and they came to the land of Goshen, and Pharaoh provided that. And then the Bible says Pharaoh grew up that didn't know Joseph. But Joseph was here on his deathbed, and he's about to die. And he said, he calls the guy over, and he says, Samuel. He says, Sammy, come over here, I want to tell you something. He said, when you guys pack the vans to get ready to go back over to Canaan, take me with you, would you? Now, I'm not going to be around, and it may be 300 or 400 years, but my bones will be here, and I want my bones to rest in Canaan. I got a spot already picked out, and I want them to be in Canaan. And old Sam looked down at Joseph and said, Joe, we ain't going to Canaan. I mean, what in the world are you talking about? We're happy right where we are. We're not going to Canaan. But you see, Joseph knew something. Joseph knew that God had made a promise to his great-grandfather, Abraham. And he said, Abraham, I'm gonna land you in the land of Canaan, and you're gonna dwell there forever, and you're going to have children like the sand of the sea. And the Bible says in Genesis chapter 50, verse 24, Joseph said to his brothers, I'm about to die, but God will surely take care of you and bring you up from this land to the land which he promised on oath to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob. And Joseph made the sons of Israel swear, saying, God will surely take care of you, and we'll take your bones up from here. You see, Joseph sat there on his deathbed, trusting God that God was going to move a whole nation of people. Now that's faith, isn't it? That's phenomenal faith. Why in the world could Joseph make such a ridiculous, seemingly ridiculous statement that the lens of history tells us was exactly accurate? Why? How in the world could Joseph lie there and trust God for such an amazing, miraculous thing? Why? Because he had a promise from God to his great-grandfather. Boy, I like that. And he trusted in what God said. and you want some practical, just a practical pathway to receiving a particular promise for your life, I want to tell you what you need to do. If you're in a situation and you're seeking direction, if you're in a situation and you need faith, if you're in a situation and you need God to raise your level of vision to see that situation from God's perspective, I want to tell you just two things practically that you need to do. Number one, you need to get your heart right with God. You will never hear God, and you will never hear from this book, and you'll never receive a promise and a word from Almighty God when your heart's not right with Him. And if there's something between you and God, some sin that needs to be confessed, some area that you're unwilling to deal with, you're never going to hear from the Lord. Listen, why should God speak to you about that area that you're so interested in your life when you're already not obeying what He's already spoken to you about? I mean, when He's already spoken to you about some area and you have failed to respond in obedience to God, why should God give you more light? To give you more light just makes you more accountable. And I believe many times people come to me and they say, I just can't hear God. I can't find direction. I don't know what to do. And many, many times the reason that God is withholding His instruction and His vision and His word from them is He's trying to get their attention about some issue of their life that they've been unwilling to deal with. And He knows that He can get their attention right here. And God is more interested in fellowshipping with them and communing with them and teaching them than He is giving them some promise about their life. So if you really want to hear God, if you want to have your vision restored, if you want to walk by faith, first of all, my friends, it is absolutely essential to get in a position where your heart is right between you and the Lord and between you and every man that you know of, and where you come to a point where you're willing to say to the Lord, Lord, whatever You tell me to do, I will do it. A willingness to accept God's will before He reveals it to you. Now, you like me, I tell you, I like the smorgasbord principle and approach to the will of God. Have you ever found folks like that? Lord, just lay out all the options on the table, and I'll pick one that looks the juiciest to me. Do you do that? I want to tell you, friends, you can ask God for that 1,000 times, and He won't ever do it. God doesn't operate that way. God says, man, you get in a position where you're willing to do My will, and then I'll reveal Myself to you. The Bible says in Psalms 25, the meek He will lead in judgment. The humble man, the one whose heart is broken, the one who comes to Him willing to do the will of God. Now, you may struggle with it a little bit after He tells you, but you come with your heart right with God, and then secondly, get your heart right, and then get your eyes and ears attentive to Him. And that means, and listen, if you want some real profound wisdom from the Word of God, that means simply to get your life in the pages of this book every single day. Have you ever met some Christians who just seem to always know what to do? I mean, you know, I know some men like that, and they just don't hesitate. Well, they just walk with the Lord, and sometimes, you know, I have to stop and just spend so much time trying to find the will of God, but they just walk. Well, they just walk with the Lord just like that. And they always see things from God's perspective, and they always know the right direction in which to go, and they walk out in faith all the time. Now, you know why those men are able to move with such immediacy like that? It's because they're the kind of men who've done their homework in their prayer closet with an open Bible. And they have hidden the Word of God in their hearts so that they don't go around sinning all the time against the Lord and disobeying and going in the wrong direction. Now, the problem with us is we're so unfamiliar with this book that when a crisis comes, or a tragedy comes, or a problem comes in our life, it takes us about 6 weeks to just get back in the position where we can hear God again. But I want to tell you something, my friends. If you want to be a person who really knows how to walk with God, then day by day, hour by hour, be imbibing and consuming the Word of God and hiding it down, the principles and the truths of the Scripture and the phenomenal promises of God. I remember Manly Beasley saying one time, he said, you know, that, and he's a man who during his life has had dyslexia. If you know anything about that, reads backwards, has a tremendous problem reading. And it's a very difficult thing, was for many, many years for him to just even read the Scriptures. But he just read and read and studied and pored over the Scriptures. And he said, you know, he told me one time, and I said, I've gotten in my life to a position where a lot of times God just speaks to me through Scripture and I never open my Bible. I mean, I'll be sitting there on a pew and a Scripture will just come and God will just speak to my heart. A promise from God will come. A word from God giving me direction will just come. And I'll never even, my Bible will be 1,000 miles away or back in the room somewhere. See, that's a man who has filled his heart with the Word of God. If you ever want to be a man who's able to endure through a trial, a man who's able to really walk by faith, see life from God's perspective so you can accept things joyfully and live in that rejoicing, fruitful kind of way, then you're going to have to be a person who gets your heart right with the Lord and your eyes and ears attentive to what He says on a daily basis. So, what does that mean that I need to do and you need to do right now, today? I need to begin to renew my mind and to hear Him so I can see right, so I can head in the right direction, and so I can trust God consistently and faithfully all the way to the end. Now, real quickly, and these last two points are not near as long as the first one, if you just want to breathe a sigh of relief, go ahead. Okay. Well, that's enough. That's enough breathing. If you want to really walk in endurance and walk in continued faith, then first of all, there's got to be the promise received. But secondly, there's got to be the posture maintained. Now, I want you to notice what the Bible says in verses 35 and 36 of chapter 10. He says, therefore, do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what has been promised. All right, I've come before the Lord. I've got some issue in my life. I need direction. I need God's strength. I need to walk in faith. I've got some trial. I've got some problem. And I go to the Word of God, and I find what God says about the issue. And I stand up on that promise, and I plant my feet, and I'm trusting God. But something happens. And a week goes by, and a month goes by, and 6 months goes by, and I still haven't seen the fulfillment of that promise. I mean, it hadn't come through yet, and I am in drastic need of that quality we've talked about all day today, of being able to keep on enduring. How do I endure? I've got the promises of God. God's spoken to my heart about the situation. How do I endure? He says simply two things. Number one, keep on trusting. Keep on trusting. He says it like this in verse 36, 35. He says, do not throw away your confidence. Do you know, I mentioned to you this morning about this issue in my own life, my own family. And by the way, I didn't say that, tell that this morning to say, boy, I'm, you know, really trusting in the Lord by any means. And I hope you understand that. It's just by way of illustration. But, you know, there have been many spots along the way in this particular trial in my own life that something would happen and I'd receive a phone call or something would happen and some turn, this trial would take another turn, a little bit deeper, a little bit farther. And you know what I'd be tempted to do? In light of that new development, I'd be tempted to throw away my confidence and quit trusting in God. Have you ever done that? I mean, you're just trusting the Lord so good, so well, believing that God was going to take care of that issue in your family. You were believing that God was going to take care of your children. You were believing that God was going to do what He promised to do in regard to the needs that you had in your life. Maybe financial needs, maybe physical needs, whatever it may be. You were really trusting God. But then suddenly, something developed and it came before your physical eyes and it looked so all-consuming and so huge that you were tempted to just throw away your confidence in the promises of God. Friends, why in the world throw away your trust in God? He's the one thing that's always going to remain true. And so what the writer of Hebrews says is, listen, when you're tempted to do that, don't. Just don't do it. Go back to your promises, renew your mind. And I found that it's tremendously helpful. I keep those promises that I have about different situations recorded in my little notebook. And boy, when I'm tempted to throw away my confidence, I go right back to those promises and I just let them minister to me again and renew my mind and take me back up again and lift me up to that position where I can see it from God's perspective. I was dealing in this situation a few weeks ago with one of the individuals that's been tremendously shattered by this thing. And boy, this individual has come and is standing in faith and is doing so well. But every once in a while, something will come along. That individual will start to throw away its confidence. And it's been my joy and privilege not only to tell it to myself, but also to share with that individual, hey, wait a minute, we're forgetting the promises of God. Have you forgotten what God said about this issue? And that individual will say, oh, yeah, I almost forgot. And we just have to climb back up again on those promises. So the Bible says if you want to endure, there's a process that goes on, and it may go on 100 times or 1,000 times through the years that you're waiting for that fulfillment of the promise, where you have to climb back on top of that promise and not throw away your confidence in God. God's faithful. He'll always do it. But then the second thing that you must do is not only keep on trusting, but keep on, secondly, listen, obeying God. Listen to what the verse says in verse 36. You have need of endurance so that after you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. Now, a lot of people say to me, well, I've got a promise from God. And they get a promise or a word from the Lord, and then they go out and just live like the devil. Do whatever they want to do. Listen, God will not honor your disobedience with the fulfillment of that promise. I believe that with all of my heart. God will withhold His promise, will withhold that fulfillment many, many times, because if He were to grant the fulfillment of that, it would almost be to condone your disobedience. And so He says, listen, if you want me to do what I've promised to do, you keep on trusting in me, but you keep on obeying me, walking in obedience to every little area, and keep on seeking me and attentive to me and obedient to me. You may have a promise come to some issue of life and you've got some financial need, and somehow God speaks through that verse in Matthew 6:33 that says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and then all the other things will be added to you. And one day that verse just ministers to your heart, and so you come to one of your friends and say, listen, man, God is going to take care of this issue. All these other things are going to be added unto me. But I want to ask you something, my friends. That's a conditional promise. And most promises are conditional. Most promises do more not telling you about the particulars of what's going to happen, but telling you what you need to do about your character. And so this promise is a conditional promise, and God says, listen, if you seek first God's kingdom, then I will do this. And you cannot expect God to add all the other things unto you if you are not seeking first the kingdom. The Bible says in Psalms 37, 4 through 7, about 4 or 5 phenomenal promises for Christians. And do you know there are over 7,000 promises in the Word of God for you? But in that verse it says, listen, if you will delight yourself in the Lord, He will give you the desires of your heart. Listen, many people take that scripture, and I hear fellas preach about this all the time, and they say, listen, if you're a Christian, God will just give you the desires of your heart. God will give you the desires of your heart. My friends, that's true and not true. That is only true when I am delighting myself in the Lord and His will. Now, when a man, why God can say that is, when a man gets to a position where his delight is not in things for himself, and his delight is not in his own selfish desires, but his delight is the will of God, and that which is right and true and virtuous and would enhance the kingdom of God, when he is delighting in the Lord like that, what happens is his desires become God's desires, or God's desires become his desires. And so God can say, listen, when a man is delighting in me like that, I'll give him the desires of my heart. Don't expect to receive the desires of your heart if your heart is not delighting in the Lord. But if your heart is delighting in the Lord, and you are maintaining that kind of relationship, it can be said about you, there's a man who's going to receive the desires of his heart because his desires have become the desires that are God's desires. And God loves to bless His children. So, keep on trusting, but keep on obeying God. And both sides of that equation are equally important. And you know what? If you're trusting and if you're obeying, do you know that in God's perfect timing, number three, you will see the promise fulfilled. Do you know what will happen to a man who is willing to find the will of God, have his vision renewed, climb up on the promises of God, and begin to trust the Lord and obey the Lord, and keep on trusting, and keep on obeying, and keep on trusting, and keep on obeying? I want to tell you something. God has yet to fail on one promise. Not one promise. Now, friends, does that grip you like that grips me? Not one single promise. Of all the billions of folks and millions of folks down through the ages that have trusted Him and stood on Him about all kinds of needs, about all kinds of issues, with all kinds of families, with all kinds of problems, all over this world, if they have come to God and they're trusting in Him and obeying Him and walking in the light of His Word, God, the Bible says, and it's true, has yet to fail on one single promise. And my friends, if you think that God has failed you, let me just suggest one of two things to you. It may be that you've missed the Lord, which is always a possibility. It is never God's fault. Maybe I've missed the Lord in my maturing and growing and understanding the will of God and the promises of God. Or maybe it's around the corner and you just need to wait. Maybe it's 10 years off. Maybe it's 50 years off. Maybe that something's going to happen after your death. You know, the Bible says, as we mentioned in Hebrews chapter 11, that most of these folks didn't see the fulfillment of those promises until after they went on to be with the Lord. But God still fulfilled them, and they saw those promises from afar, the Bible says. We won't take the time, but the Bible says in verse 7 that God's promise to Noah was fulfilled. Verse 11, God's promise to Sarah was fulfilled, and she bore a son when she couldn't bear a child. The Bible says in verse 22 that God's promise to Joseph was fulfilled. The Bible says in verse 24 and following that all the promises that God made to Moses were always fulfilled, always fulfilled. Verse 30, the Bible says that God's promise and instruction to Joshua there at Jericho was fulfilled. And time will not tell of all the fulfilled promises that God has brought forth. But I want to tell you something else that will happen. Not only will you see a fulfillment of that promise that God has spoken to your heart about that issue of your life, but also you will receive, as verse 35 says, great reward. Do not throw away your confidence, which has a great reward. What do you mean by great reward? I don't know all that that means, but I want to tell you just two things. You will receive, as Hebrews 11 says, first of all, a testimony among men. Now, friends, that is a great reward for men to look at your life and say, there is a man who trusts in God, and my life has been changed. My life has been affected by that man's testimony of God's faithfulness as he's endured and trusted in the Lord. But not only will you receive as a reward on this earth the testimony of men, you will also receive the approval of God. The Bible says in Hebrews 11, verses 1 through 6, that through faith men of old gained God's approval. The Bible says in verse 6, without faith it is impossible to please God. Then what does please God? What pleases God? When I quit trusting in myself, when I quit living by my own human ingenuity, and I began to go to the Lord and so depend upon Him and what He says, that I live by every word that proceeds out of His mouth, and I trust in Him.